We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's Tuesday, July 13th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford, and this is Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. This week, we're going to make some predictions about the 2021 season. But first, it's time to talk about Aaron Rodgers, quarterback rankings, and more with my guy, Matt Ford. Matt, welcome back. It's been a couple of weeks since we had the show. I'm glad to see you again. But when I think about July 4th, and more specifically my birthday, July 11th, don't say happy birthday to me. It was a great birthday because almost no one texted me. It was great. I didn't have to answer any text messages. Is that football is coming. Like, my birthday has always signified to me that football is near. And Matt, as of recording this, I believe we're 8 days away from the Dallas Cowboys reporting to training camp. Football is coming, Ooh. Buddy.
Well, there's your birthday present. Although Nick, our producer, actually did send you a real birthday present that we were very proud of.
Bagels and lox from H&M in New York.
H&H.
H&H, I'm sorry.
We didn't send you a romper.
Even though a romper might have been appreciated as well. Very comfortable. Very light in the summer. Yeah, down in North Carolina breeze. Would have been nice. But no, it was glorious. I had the rest of it today because I was had some. It was glorious. Bagel and lox to me is the perfect breakfast. It's better than cake, in my opinion. I'd rather have that than eat cake.
Similar caloric contents, but I agree. I love a good bagel, man. I'm getting more and more into them as I age. They become more of a delicacy. I'm surrounded by them all the time here in New York, but. Yeah, they're the best. I actually heard the best ones are in LA. I'm going out there in a few weeks. Have you heard of this place? There's the New York Times said the best bagels are in LA, and like New York flipped out. Does anyone know what I'm talking? Maybe our producers listening.
I don't think that's actually possible for that to be the case. I mean, same. There's an article the other day that said Portland has the best pizza.
That's just horseshit.
Yeah. So some of these articles need to just stop being so horseshit, as you said, and get with a New York bagel. But I mean, look, there are a few places in Los Angeles that I enjoy going to when I go back home for bagels. But nothing beats a New York. I think it's part of the experience in New York, right? You're walking somewhere. It's either miserably cold or miserably hot. There's like feels like there's no in between in Manhattan. And you stand in line for your bagel, and it's just you eat it on the go. And it just tastes delicious.
Yeah, it's the best. I think the one I'm thinking of in LA is called Courage Bagels. Hit me up in the on the Twitters if you've been there and recommend it. But yeah, enough bagels, Jeff. Why don't we get to this goddamn Aaron Rodgers guy for the millionth time? And I think the last time. Is that are you ready to go?
I think I am. And right. We saw Rodgers, and you can get in specifics, but just, you know, he's been now a little bit on television the last couple of days with the match. And I think he played the AAC, right? He played that championship in Tahoe as well. Wait, by the way, I'm terrible at golf. I golfed this weekend with my brother past weekend. It was awful. I suck at it. But I feel like if we could get the podcast to go to that tournament in Tahoe next year, it'd be a huge win for us. We got to find a way to get our podcast into that tournament. So if anyone's listening who is part of that, I think it's the AAC championship in Tahoe with all the celebrities. I suck at golf, but I will have fun. I will enjoy myself, and I will make comments like Aaron Rodgers does to help us talk about other podcast segments.
Yeah, it's funny. Conor McGregor fought this weekend, and I was reading this today, and I was like, this kind of feels like Conor McGregor, this Aaron Rodgers thing, where it's just like all this yapping, and then at the end of the day, like, are you going to deliver? And Aaron Rodgers is the MVP, so he's not quite Conor McGregor just yet, but enough setting up the table here. Over the weekend, in one of his many public appearances, the part-time golfer and TV host Aaron Rodgers said, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this week, and then I'm going to get back to working out and figure things out in a couple weeks. Now, everyone sort of decoded that as saying, well, hey, training camp starts July 27th for the Packers. So is this it, Jeff? Are we done? Was this just like a giant waste of oxygen? Like we sort of have been predicting for months that Aaron Rodgers is just going to come back and nothing will have ever happened. Is that where we're headed?
That's exactly where we're headed. If you listen to him talk, whether he talked at the match or whether he talked at this tournament or anyone else, he seems kind of resigned to the fact that he's coming back. If you listen to the way he's talking about it and the way he's kind of approaching these questions, it's very clear he knows he's coming back. And we've laid out all the reasons why, okay? First and foremost, he doesn't have leverage. The Packers do not need to trade him. We keep going over this, right, guys? And the reasons why are plentiful. One is that they have his contract, right? So if he doesn't want to play this year, then he didn't have to play, but they still own his contract for the next couple of years. Two, the Packers have already allocated that cap space this year and next year really for his deal, right? Like if they trade him now, there really is no benefit for this season other than maybe, let's say, Jerry Jeudy they get, but it's all for next season and the years past. They have a team now they believe can win a championship if Aaron Rodgers is there, and that's why they want him to play. And as much as he might not want to be there and he is upset with the front office, there is no leverage. Secondly, and I think we've approached this place a little bit more lately, is that, you know, the ego of Aaron Rodgers is not going to let him sit out. Matt, I just don't think so, right? You know, we joked about Florio saying that he was going to opt out July 2nd for COVID. He would have pocketed $18 million. There was no whiff of that happening, right? If he sits out and Jordan Love plays well, that is a shot to his ego, right? That's a shot to us talking about him. Oh, they don't need Rodgers. They don't need him. I'm not sure he wants to play that game. Third, I think his teammates are saying, hey, man, look, buddy, you made your point. We get it. But we want to win a championship, right? I mean, David Bakhtiari, their left tackle, has come back off injury. I'm sure he's telling like, Aaron, look, man, I'm getting older. I want to win a title, dude. Like, come back. Hang out with the team. Let's focus all together and let's win a championship, right? Devonta Adams, does he really want Jordan Love throwing to him? No, he's telling Aaron, come back, be a Packer. Let's win this championship together. So those are all reasons why I think he's coming back. And whether he comes back the first day of camp, Matt, or the third or week into camp, I feel very confident. I've said this from the beginning. He will start under center week one for the Packers.
I got to say, this is one we've been on. We've been on this for a long time. Saying that he just, even if he really wanted to get out, there weren't a ton of options. Even, you know, if the draft thing happened a little bit too late. You mentioned Devonta Adams. That's the tea leaves here. If Devonta Adams doesn't make some big statement about how he's not showing up to camp, that's when I'd start to panic. Devonta Adams' contract year, you know, coming off a season where, what did he have, 17 touchdowns or something in 15 games? It was some crazy number that I wish I'd actually prepared, but he's got his whole career is on the line basically if Aaron Rodgers comes back this season or not. You mentioned Bakhtiari, and look, Rodgers, like, you said it, like, his ego, his public opinion matters. If he wants to really be the host of Jeopardy, like, you can't be considered a total a-hole who quits on your teammates. So I really think 18 touchdowns in 15 games. Thanks, Hank, for the Devontae Adams last season. Prolific fantasy output. But yeah, I just don't think that at this point he's got a ton of options. Tom Brady said that on one of the random promotional things, said that he made a joke about Rodgers hating his boss and having no options. And you saw Rodgers' soul just kind of like leave his body because he got zinged by the corniest dude of all time on television and other reasons. But I think now if you can get the Packers for some good value for the division or for the conference or any, you know, Devontae Adams over in touchdowns, if there are tasty numbers right now, like, get them while you can. Like, this is how this is going to go.
Yeah, we bought it from the start because I think we figured out that, you know, this is how this kind of plays out. I will say what's gonna bother me about this in the end is Packers fans are going to say this was never serious. The media made too much of Adam Schefter's report, Ian Rapoport's report, everyone else. No, he 100% wants out, guys. I believe he does. But we have contracts we signed, right? And you can't just get out of your deal. And you have to have a certain type of, you know, Carson Palmer did this to the Bengals. It's the freaking Bengals, right? It's not the Packers who just went to two straight NFC Championship games. The difference between a player, you know, Eli Manning not wanting to go play for the Chargers, who at that point were not very successful, right? Like, this is the Packers we're talking about. We're not talking about a bum franchise, a bum organization, bum teammates, a terrible coach. I mean, you know, isn't LaFleur like 26-6 in the regular season now in his two seasons there? Like, we're talking about a team that wins, and for him to want to get out, it puts, to your point, a stain on his legacy. I don't think he's willing to go through that right now.
Yeah, and he's got a contract where it's a little easier to get out of next year in terms of the guaranteed money and all that stuff. This year, there's a big escalation in pay. So, look, maybe it's next year. I think this sort of happened with Russell Wilson, too. You know, we're going to see this in the NBA a lot. I know this isn't that kind of podcast, but we're going to see that with, you know, the players who sort of like coordinate their breakups through the media. And at some point you just kind of forget like why, who's mad at who. And it's just like, oh yeah, they don't like each other. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to figure out his way out of there and go quarterback, you know, the Washington football team next year or something.
It's funny you say that because people will point to the NBA and talk about how James Harden forced his way out. But if you remember, right, the Rockets were kind of going nowhere and Harden was actively tanking. He wasn't playing very well. You're not going to see many players on Sunday actively tank, Matt, because they're going to get themselves hurt. You know, the contract situation, our career is so short that if you play poorly for four games, A, you're not going to be as tradable, but B, that gets held against you in any contract negotiation. Like, they're not going to say, oh, Rodgers just didn't play hard for 4 weeks. No. Plus, your teammates are counting on you and whatnot. So the NBA, yes, we'll have more player movement. We're at the point now where we're possibly Dame Lillard's on the move in Portland and whatnot. But you don't see that in the NFL for those reasons.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that was true of James Harden, not to belabor this point, was that the owner of the Rockets was in some financial trouble, right? Like, you could see this happen with Damian Lillard, and you'll see this happen with other star players where it's like, I mean, you saw this happen in New England with Belichick and Brady, where it's sometimes the owner just steps in and just goes like, guys, we're not getting rid of, you know, Damian Lillard or whatever. And in the Packers case, we don't really understand the impact of the no owner thing. Maybe it's helped, maybe it's hurt. Like, it's a little unclear. But I don't know. It's been a fascinating thing. I agree. This was not nothing. The fact that you could tell it was Aaron Rodgers who coordinated this blitz on draft night. Like, it's so clear where the leak came from. You know, it means it's something for this season. Like, you know, if you were long on the Packers a few weeks and months ago, like, it may end up working out in your favor, but at the end of the day, it just seems clear Rodgers is going to come back. So, speaking of quarterbacks, we were all passing around an article on the Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than Us group thread. It's a very good iMessage thread. I wish you all could see it each week. It's got good takes in it. This week, we were all kicking around an article about ESPN's top 10 quarterback rankings. There's so many ways we could take this. At the risk of blowing up ESPN's paywall, I think they can afford it. The top 10 were Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Wilson, Allen, Stafford, Dak, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and Kyler Murray in the top 10. I don't want to like necessarily like go through this article and debunk all the points or whatever. I'm just really curious, like, Jeff, for a league that's so stacked with quarterbacks, I'm looking at this list and I'm going, okay, the fifth best quarterback in the league is Josh Allen. That's like, really? That's where we are? Like, I kind of agree with it. Stafford feels a little bit high to me, but I'm just kind of curious. Like, is there anyone on that list after Wilson who you like feel very confident in week to week? Like, it feels a little bit off to me.
Well, the couple of players, really one player that's omitted is Deshaun Watson, right? If Deshaun Watson, you know, Deshaun Watson's probably four on this list, right? Which pushes everyone back down a rung, right? It puts Russ at five and Josh Allen at six now and Stafford at seven. You know, these lists are a lot of fun for us to talk about, right? They're great for radio. They're great for what we do. But I don't think anyone who participates in this list actually watches much of the game. Like, I don't – these lists sometimes are so shocking to me with where guys end up. Pat Mahomes this year got less of a percent of the first-place votes than he had last year. I'm not sure how you can watch a season and say that Mahomes was worse than the season, you know, than he was last year. I mean, I guess Rodgers won the MVP, so maybe people are leaning to him, but – every team in the NFL would take Pat Mahomes as their quarterback now, right? Yep. For the future of their franchise. They would take Pat over everyone. He's easily number one. I think Rodgers, I agree, is two. I mean, is Brady the third best quarterback? He might be on the third best team or the first best team, but I don't think he's the third best quarterback. Wouldn't you put Russ and Deshaun Watson ahead of him?
Yes, I think. I mean, this is sort of like, not to go back to basketball again, but it's like LeBron in basketball. It's like, how do you value Tom Brady adequately at this point? Like in the NFC Championship, he was better than Rodgers. Like, granted, he had better weapons and better protection and all that, but he was the best quarterback on the field. I would probably keep him there. I feel like the top four are right. I actually, you know, I think number five, Allen, is probably right. I think from there, I would put Lamar Jackson, who is a starter, is 30-7, and his lead receiver last year outside of Andrews was Willie Snead. Like, not a super dynamic offense around him, but he makes them, you know, a Super Bowl contender every year. And then from there, it's just like, you know, Matthew Stafford, man. Like, are we missing here? Like, what?
I don't.
What is this?
That's the one that stands out, I think, is the mistake here. I think that someone had Stafford as high as like two or three in their rankings. I think people are very excited for him to be in this McVay offense. I know they are as well. But he has not played this well in a long time to be the sixth best quarterback in the NFL. So this is, Matt, feels like a projection on what they hope he can be this season. But it's not what he is now. He's not. No one would draft him if you took a drafting the quarterbacks. No one would take him sixth in the NFL right now. So, and you can obviously that's not, you know, terribly fair because, you know, someone might take a younger player like, you know, a Dak or a Herbert or you know, Kyler or, you know, a Burrow instead of him because they're younger. But nonetheless, I just don't see it, man. I feel like this is a projection of people hoping it goes well with Sean McVay. And we saw it go well with Jared Goff, and people just automatically assume, hey, it went well with Goff, it should go well with Stafford. And it might certainly go well. But to put him sixth right now, again, I think out of all the guys in this list, that's a projection on what they hope he can be at the end of the season. While the other guys, I think, are pretty much ranked where they are now, the Stafford one stands out as, hey, this is our projection for this season.
Yeah. Look. No playoff wins in 12 seasons in Detroit. Not all his fault. Did have, you know, one of the five best receivers of all time for some of that. I don't get it. We'll see with him. I think that he's going to be put in a position to succeed, and he'll do well. And he'll be the Rorschach test of, you know, everybody who likes him will say see, and everyone who thinks he sucks will be like, yeah, see, like look how good everyone else is. Look. You know, Cam Akers and those receivers, like, look how good they are. I think it's really interesting, like, who's not on this list anymore. Obviously, Breeze is gone. You know, Philip Rivers is gone. Kirk Cousins isn't on this list. Like, there are guys who are either, like, in their early 20s, like, obviously, Mahomes and Josh Allen and Herbert and Murray. And, you know, there's, I think... You know, Dak is in his
later 20s. Tannehill's not on here either.
Tannehill's probably belongs on here, but then you've still got like Rodgers and Brady, you know, touching 40 or over.
Yeah.
Like, there is going to be a real reset. Roethlisberger not on this list anymore, obviously. Like, we're going through this really interesting time, and then we have all these really interesting, like, genuinely interesting rookie quarterbacks, like Lawrence and Wilson and Fields among them. Like, there is going to be a massive changing of the guard soon. But I think we can both agree the biggest omission here was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, what are we doing? What list exists without Ryan Fitzpatrick in the top 10? What are we doing here?
How confident are you? And I was talking to some people this weekend. I was down at O-Line Masterminds, this large, you know, seminar we have for offensive linemen. And I was talking to someone, it wasn't a player, it was a media member who was pretty high in Washington of the idea that, look, if Fitz is just average, like, because Washington was so balanced at that position, if Fitz is average, that team might win the NFC East.
Yeah, we'll touch on them a little bit later.
And
some of the things we like, but I do think that that's accurate. Like, they, and by the way, last year, like, super young team, lots of new faces last season.
Yeah,
with no training camp. So
I think Murray might be a little bit high here at 10. I think at the end of the year, there could be a, you know, it'd be Mahomes, Rodgers, and then some form of like Brady, Watson, if he plays, Russ and Dak will be like the next, I think, will be the next four at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I know Josh Allen's not up there, but I think Dak's going to have a huge season. And that will be, there's something we'll go over with our favorite props, three of them, right, as we head into training camp very soon that I like. Part of that is going to be Dak Prescott heavy.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I think I would probably, you might think I'm crazy here. I think it's probably time to put Baker Mayfield at number 10 here. I would rather have him than Kyler Murray for a few reasons. I think he brings something to the table as a competitor that not a lot of other quarterbacks, including Stafford, on this list do. I don't know. Mayfield has charged a moribund franchise there at Cleveland, and he's got a lot of physical tools. I think he's flying under the radar a little bit.
So what's pretty interesting about Baker, and a conversation I ran across today on Twitter, if you guys follow Chris Brown, it's at Smart Football. He's a very good follow. He was talking today about this kind of McVay-Shanahan system. And he was asking, like, who have they developed as young quarterbacks? And it hasn't been many elite guys, right? Shanahan had his best season with Matt Ryan so far, right? I mean, that was his best statistical year, but Matt Ryan was an established pro. You know, Jared Goff had some good seasons, but I mean, no one thought he was elite at any point. And Baker Mayfield plays in the same offense. And this is why, and we have plenty of time to discuss this, the Browns are kind of stuck. They have to pay Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
But Matt, and people disagree with me on this. I was this weekend talking to people about this. You know, I just don't buy him being, if he's in the top 10, it's a product of his offense more than like a product of his actual skill he brings to that offense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could probably buy that. I still think he belongs, though. I mean, when you just look at the other guys on this list, like I would rather have him than Stafford, certainly. I'd rather have him than Murray. Murray obviously like brings a lot more to the table, but I think it's funny. I mean, we've talked about this topic for a while, so we'll move on. But I will say, like, there's this sort of prototype in your head of like, well, what does a great quarterback look like? And, you know, at the top of this list, there's, you know, some older guys who can't move super well. The next up, you know, contenders on this list aren't necessarily the guys who you would think of, but like the next first five off of this list, it's like Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Tannehill, you know, Cousins, Mayfield. It's like, these are like, I don't know. They're very good, but I don't know. I can't tell if we're like in a boom of quarterback talent or if we're kind of like in a normal scenario where everyone's like kind of good. And there's just a lot of like, I don't know. The game's just really opened up and it's easier to succeed. It's an interesting time to think about this.
It is. And that's something that I think people have thought about and will continue to think about, like, as we get closer to, to the season and really after the season. I think there's people that are already thinking about that as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, definitely. So as we move on through to the end of this show, two things I want to do left. And these are what you call July football segments, Jeff. We are deep in the summer. Everything is all theoretical. We're having fun. We're thinking about what's going to happen in a few months from now. For the next couple weeks, we'll come back to this. It's never too early to start making your futures bets. I like to think that I'm better at futures bets than I am at certainly a week to week in game bets. So I spend a lot of time thinking about these. So why don't we start this week, Jeff? Why don't we give each other a few that we're going to like? I think the other needs to give us the other permission to whether they should actually put these bets in. This could be a little bit of a Shark Tank scenario.
Okay.
So Jeff, why don't you lead us off? Do you have a bet that you want to bring to the table today?
So I saw a Dak Prescott comeback player of the year plus 170. That feels like a lock. I mean, I don't know what the number was beforehand, but you get plus money here. My book limited it to only $25. I try to put more on it. I think it kind of tells you where they're feeling this is going. I mean, who is going to beat him for comeback player of the year? There's no Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dak's going to win 9 or 10 games and play well, I'd imagine. I don't know who's going to take – Joe Burrow ain't taking that role from him. I don't know who else is going to – this feels like a slam dunk to me. That's my favorite one.
I mean, you say it, and I wanted to like have some sort of comeback, and it's just like, yeah, it does make sense. It's like, sure, Saquon or Christian McCaffrey could make some sense, but like, you know, they're not going to give it to, I don't know, Odell Beckham or Ezekiel Elliott, like somebody who like just kind of had a down year. You know what I mean? Like, it really comes down to who overcame the most, you know, setbacks to
yeah, take but this, but you know, thing about it too is that what type of year would Barkley have to have or McCaffrey have to have to be better than Dak? When you consider that Dak is probably winning the division, I would imagine. We could get into that another time, I would imagine. But like, I just don't know if they can do enough to be better than Dak to win that award.
Yeah, I see it. Bet MGM plus 180 for Prescott. That feels like the only way that doesn't happen is if he's just not healthy. And you know, if Barkley or McCaffrey has one of those seasons that like sets an all-time record. So you've got my blessing on that one, Jeff. By all means, fire away. Let me start with one for you that I am pretty sure I will not be getting your blessing on. Give me 1 second to pull this up. I just lost my tab. Okay, here we go. I'll start with this one. The Patriots to make the playoffs at plus 145. So betting teams to make the playoffs is one of my most favorite things to bet. It's super fun to track all season. And, you know, 7 teams in each conference, you know, there's a good chance no matter what happens to your team, as long as they have a decent year. Remember that 2 years ago, before all those opt-outs, including Dante Hightower, the Pats were the number one defense in 2019. They went out there. They spent a ton of dough on pass-catching tight ends. They drafted Mac Jones in the first round. They picked up Nelson Agholor, who, you know, feels like one of those guys the Patriots are going to turn into something. It's Bill Belichick. Like, let's just be honest. Like, is he going to have a down year after Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl, number one and number two? Are we sure Buffalo is going to be able to have a season like that again, where they're going to just completely shut out the rest of the division? I'm not sure that they will. We'll talk about that another day, too. But Patriots at plus almost 150 to make the playoffs just feels like an easy one.
Plus 150 to make the playoffs. When you look at the AFC, right, you have I think, you know, Browns, Ravens, that's two, right, that I feel good about. Chiefs, obviously. I think the Bills will make the playoffs. That's four. You know, one of the Colts or Titans, that's five. So now you're left with, you know, another Colts and Titans at six, right, whoever the sixth team is. I know the Steelers are going to feel that way. I'm going to get the Steelers in a second. Chargers are going to feel that, you know, they should be in the playoff. And the Raiders are going to feel that way as well. I don't think the Raiders have a chance. But, yeah, I mean, Dolphins are going to feel that way as well. Okay, I could buy the value there on that. I love to see that, you know, and we obviously can't do this, is, you know, going back to, you know, 3 months ago, what these were really after the draft, right? Because the draft is kind of is reset. So, yeah, I like that. And you get plus money there, because my next one, is along the same lines. You lay a little bit of money here. Steelers, no playoffs, minus 200. Wow. So remember last year, I was
minus 200.
I know. I was very high on the Steelers last season, if you recall. I was one of the first to come out, national quote pundits. I hate saying them I'm in the media, but I guess that's just my job. I better get used to it. To say, hey, look, if there's a team to knock off the Chiefs, it's Pittsburgh, right? They were turning Big Ben, returning the defense, but and they obviously started fast last year. But Matt, how many quarterbacks at Big Ben's age, as we see the physical decline, pop back up and become good again? People argue Tom Brady in New England. Remember, Tom Brady in New England physically was fine. He had no one to throw to. That wasn't the problem. And so now we have Big Ben sliding down backside of his career. We have an OC in Matt Canada who doesn't really match up with Big Ben is, I think, good at. They return possibly only one offensive line starter, so they have to rebuild their entire offensive line. Defensively, they're going to be fine. I mean, they're fine, right? I mean, will it be number one, two, three, four? They'll be in the top 10 somewhere. But you have a Browns team that's much better. You have a Ravens team that just wins a ton of regular season games. The Bengals should be a little spicier in division. Matt, I don't think the Steelers are making the playoffs. I think I know that they've, Tomlin has been over 500 every, at least 500, at least every year of his career there. So fabulous coach. I think this is a year they take a backslide. Big Ben's gone. They bring a quarterback in and they kind of rebuild for the future.
I think your logic is solid. It's just not a bet I would make. The juice feels a little heavy to me for a team that could easily, I mean, remember, what were they last year? 11-0 to start the season.
11-12-0,
They came out guns blazing. Roethlisberger still has it when he's healthy, which is never. That defense just always is solid. Their floor is high, right? Like, I guess they could just totally bottom out, but it just feels like they have too many pieces on that offense. I know that you're not big into Najee Harris and running backs in general, but they have a lot of talent there. The offensive line that you mentioned is a mess. Yeah. I don't know. What's their floor? I mean, with this wacky 17-game season, 7 wins?
Well, I think their total was 8.5.
Yeah, so, they're somewhere around there. I think, I don't know. I would hold back on that one personally, but I could see why you'd make it. I'll caution you, but not stop you. How's that?
Okay, there we go.
All right. This one you're going to definitely stop me, but I might fire anyway. So you mentioned teams that are on the fringe in the AFC, and you mentioned this team, the Las Vegas Raiders. To make the playoffs, Jeff, listen to this number. Plus 350 is what you're getting for the Raiders to make the playoffs right now. That to me is overinflated. It's sort of the same argument with the Patriots right now. Everyone's down on the Raiders. Like, the Raiders, sure, they're the Raiders, but they won 8 games last year. They moved to a new city. That stadium is going to have one of the top home field advantages in the entire NFL. This is like, a city that's been dying for a team. They have this stadium that's been sitting there. These people bought season tickets a year ago. They are going to be fired up to go and root for their team. Everyone, remember last year, the Raiders were 6-3. The year before that, they were 6-4. They crumbled down the stretch. Derek Carr, he's playing potentially for an extension this year or next year or something like that. I think they have enough ingredients to be a kind of good team. For plus 350, I just think that the value is there.
I'm trying to find it. But Gruden is like under 400 as a coach, under 40%. We're under 40% win percentage in December. Like, his teams get really worse throughout the season. And it's pretty tough for me to buy a team in that division that gets worse throughout the season. I'm with you that, they're going to have a home field advantage. And that's something that, by the way, is going to have to be discussed as we approach the season. Look at the Chargers, for example. Justin Herbert played with no fans last season in his away games. I'm very curious to see how that changes. This is, Hank put in a good number. Gruden's teams are just 31-45 in December and January.
Yeah, 41%.
15-23 with the Raiders. Like, that's just, so I just don't buy them. I'd rather take the Chargers in that division, the Chiefs obviously in that division, and the Broncos if they get Rodgers, which I think is unlikely. Sticking with the Chiefs though. I wrote down 4 bets for the Chiefs, okay? That I think the Chiefs are, if everyone's healthy, look, I mean, it's very easy to say that this is easy for them. I get that. But if they're healthy, all right, make the playoffs minus 1,200. We're not doing that, right? That's too much juice if Mahomes gets hurt, right? Like, that's not going to happen. Okay. AFC to win their division, minus 250. I mean, I think it's actually a decent wager, right? You bet 250 to win 100. I mean, again, you're just, if an injury happens, you're screwed. That's it, right?
Yep.
AFC champion plus 250 and Super Bowl champion plus 400. Those don't feel like the value there is anymore, right? I mean, this was much higher in before they redid their offensive line. I think those are the right bets to make. I think out of all four of those, you know, I think champ and Super Bowl are the way to go. But AFC division minus 250, you don't like laying juice. I've done a little bit sometimes every now and then. That feels like the best one to go with in the division bet. Because again, the value on champion and Super Bowl are not quite there. Plus, if the Chiefs lose a game or two, you might get that better odds throughout the season, especially if someone like Buffalo or Cleveland start fast. You might get champ and Super Bowl odds better during the season. So I think division minus 250, Matt, if I were to go with the Chiefs prop or their over win total, I think 12 and a half, which is a shit ton of wins, that might be even better. They're over the win total.
It's funny. I feel like with the Chiefs, we're in sort of uncharted territory. I mean, Mahomes said that thing about maybe having a perfect season. Like, it sounds like they're motivated to potentially go out there and, you know, win a bunch of games. Like, after, you know, the run that they've had of, you know, almost Super Bowl, Super Bowl win, Super Bowl loss, it gets pretty hard to, like, beat Denver in Denver in the middle of October when you're 6-0. And they're 1-4 and their season's on the line. You know what I mean? Like, those games get kind of harder and harder to win. So I would be a little bit worried about betting them for anything in the regular season as a result of that, because, you know, they could just not be able to get up for these games anymore. And you mentioned the injuries. Like, Mahomes isn't the only one. Like, Tyreek Hill, if he goes down, like, we've talked about how thin that receiving core is. Kelce, same thing. I will say I do have a Chiefs Super Bowl bet in that I put in March at plus 485. I think the winning the conference one isn't bad. You know, you look at the other contenders there, yeah. Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland, Tennessee are the next four. I'm not scared of any of those teams. Buffalo, you know, potentially the outlier there. I think you could get pretty good value there. I don't like, you know, putting a bunch of money down with the futures bet.
You got any more?
I got one more.
Okay.
My last one here is going to be the 49ers under 10 wins.
Ooh.
This is a team that I just don't understand why everyone is just like penciling them into the NFC Championship. I swear we've talked about this on the show before, or maybe just heatedly over group texts. But look, every year the 49ers are one of the most hurt teams in the league. We don't know what their situation is at quarterback. Their defense, we're just sort of assuming that Nick Bosa is going to come back and everything's going to be okay, even though there's a ton of problems in the secondary and they lost their defensive coordinator. They're playing in a division with Russell Wilson, who's trying to get out of Seattle. The Rams, you know, Stafford, whatever, they're still going to be a tough team along with the Cardinals. I don't know, man. I think that you could get pretty good value. I think they're like plus 140 at the book I'm looking at for the under 10. And I like that one.
That's pretty fascinating. I mean, I've been high on the Niners too. I think the value in that play is the under, right? Because everyone's going to pick everyone taking the over. So, and we know often that in gambling, zagging sometimes works. You kind of have to eat it sometimes, but that's the way it works. Matt, I'm disappointed that neither of us, and I will choose this one later when we will do a draft for futures bets. Maybe we'll throw Nick in here and Hank and Gabe as we go into the season. Any Tim Tebow prop that you find that does not require him to play week one to be actionable, you must, not maybe, you must bet the under in all of those. So there's some sports books, we're not partners with them, I'm not going to name them, where you should 100% make those bets, Tim Tebow, everything under. He's not playing this season. He's not making the roster. He's not scoring a touchdown. He's not getting any receiving yards. Tim Tebow under. Go to the bank with all those props.
I love that. If you can find it, Godspeed. You've got full blessing.
I know
from
where
us.
Some of them are at that are actionable, even if he doesn't play, which obviously the limits on those are going to be low. But nonetheless, It's a hey, by the way, speaking about gambling, real quick, before we get to Mat Libs, a new segment that we're gonna do. So I've gambled on baseball like every day this year, minus a couple days. It's the break, right? The All-Star break.
Yep.
I want to give myself a little bit of love here because I am shockingly doing not that terribly. And it's quite impressive. Like, baseball is really hard to be good at. I'm 150, 149, and 6. I'm only down 4 units.
It's pretty good.
Dude, for everyday baseball, that's freaking amazing. I post my picks daily at Jeff Schwartz on Instagram, Jeff with a G. There is a home run derby tonight. I'm not gambling on that. And one more baseball gripe, okay? Why is the derby on at 8 p.m. Eastern? Like, my kids can't watch the freaking derby because you put it on so late at night. Why is baseball doesn't want there to be fans? I swear to God, they don't want there to be fans. Like, why is it at 8 o'clock? For Dodger fans who don't care about baseball the entire season to watch the Dobry in Los Angeles? Like, is that why it's on at that time? Like, I don't understand, man.
There's so many new rules of baseball, like the doubleheader rules and the extra innings rules.
That's
like,
being changed.
I just feel like I don't even know what baseball is anymore. And meanwhile, we have like this guy, Ohtani, we're not the first people to talk about this, who's like doing unbelievable things and no one cares. Like, Shohei Ohtani could walk in my apartment right now and I'd be alarmed because he's a stranger, but I would not know who he was. Like, I'm not kidding.
He's
like,
incredible, right? I mean, he's starting the All-Star game at pitcher and batting first for the American League at DH. He had the most home runs over, I think, a 30-day stretch in AL history or something like that. The last 20 years, some
ridiculous
crazy number like that. He hits moonshots, by the way. They aren't just like little dribblers that make it out. By the way, my Giants swept your Nationals. Sorry about that. And the Giants swept them wearing the ugliest jerseys of all time. That makes it even worse.
I'm still coasting from that 19 title. If I learned anything, it's just let this thing ride. We'll see you in October. We'll see if we're still standing.
Boom. And there it is. Wireless on the most reliable network nationwide.
That's cool. But with my wireless, I get unlimited for just $30.
Impressive. But does yours have 5G included?
Of course. And my wireless saves me $400 a year.
That's because you all have Xfinity Mobile with your internet. It's wireless so good, it keeps one-upping itself.
$30 per line per month, taxes and fees extra, compares pricing of top carriers, Xfinity internet required, reduced speeds after 20 gigabits of usage per line, most reliable based on RootMetrics U.S. report. Results vary, not an endorsement.
Well, let's get to Mat Libs before we get out here.
A new segment here, Jeff. We were kicking around this idea of these open-ended statements where we sort of fill in the blanks, inspired by my time on Good Morning Football Whiteboard Wednesdays. But they're sort of like Mad Libs, but for copyright reasons, we're definitely not going to call them Mad Libs. So let's call them, I don't know, Mat Libs. What do you think? Pretty good.
That's why they paid you all that money on that show, man.
That's it. And it's here on this podcast just commanding a massive financial windfall each episode in my talent fee. Jeff, I've got 6 of these. We'll see if we make it through all of them. Number one, the rookie I'm most excited to watch this season is
Justin Fields. Bears fans are super pumped about him, as they should be. And they've needed a quarterback their entire franchise history. Like, this could be the guy that kind of gets this franchise back to where they want to be. And I think he plays sooner or later. I've been very firm on that. And I think that if he's as good as everyone says he is, I'm excited to watch him play.
He is plus 1,000 right now for Rookie of the Year. If you remember, Justin Herbert didn't enter the season last year as a starter, and by the end of it, he ran away with Rookie of the Year. I think Fields is a really good bet. That's a enormous market, a starved fan base for a quarterback, a good team that has enough pieces in place. He has like it feels like how it felt when RG3 was a rookie, and it was just like the right person in the right market with the right pieces, the right coach, and just a city that was just like ready to fall head over heels in love. So I'm with you. Justin Fields was my pick for that one too. Number two, I'm betting, and this can be betting or not, but I'm betting blank takes a huge leap forward this season.
Well, Carson Wentz can't be any worse. So while I don't think he's going to be any more than average this year, I've made that very clear, being the worst quarterback to average is a huge jump in one season. So I'll go with Carson Wentz here. Again, I don't think he's going to be special this season. He can be eventually. But as far as making a huge jump, going from worst to middle of the pack, that's pretty big. I'll take Carson Wentz.
I think that's a really interesting one. You could take, if you're buying that, Frank Reich Coach of the Year is an interesting play if he turns Wentz into a salvageable player and they run away with that division. That's a good one. I went a little homery for mine, but I hope none of my fantasy league opponents are listening to this, because I'm betting that Antonio Gibson takes a massive leap forward this season. Last season, the Washington football team running back averaged 4.7 yards per carry, 7 yards a catch. And Jeff, he was a wide receiver at Memphis the year before. This is the first year where he'll have a full training camp. He'll have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's in an offense that, by the way, produced Christian McCaffrey 2 years before with Scott Turner. I think he is going to be a fantasy league winner this year. I'm buying all the Antonio Gibson stock I can, and I think he's going to be awesome.
Love it.
Next up, the most overrated team right now is...
I'm looking at the odds to win the Super Bowl this year. It's Chiefs, Bucks, Ravens, Bills are tied, the Niners, Rams, Packers... you made a case for the Niners as being the overrated team. And I don't think they're that overrated, but if you look at those odds, the Niners probably shouldn't have better odds than the Browns. Now, however, part of this is calculating the Chiefs winning the AFC, right? So that's why the Browns odds are so long compared to let's say the Rams. But I don't think there's an overrated team right now. I think you would feel the Niners, right? But I don't know if there's one that comes to mind as far as like, wow, we're supremely overrating that team.
The Niners would be a pick for me. The team that I am actually going to go with for this one is the Denver Broncos, who seem to be getting a lot of buzz for reasons I don't totally understand. Everyone crapped all over Teddy Bridgewater all season, and now they're like, well, he's going to turn that team around. Their win total is 8.5, which is basically it's 500. They were 5-11 last year. Von Miller had 8 sacks, didn't force a single turnover. They have 19 wide receivers and no quarterback with Melvin Gordon as their offense. Their defense, I think, we're just coasting off reputation. To me, they just seem like a team that will not matter at all, and they seem to be getting a little bit of playoff buzz. I'm fading the Broncos very hard.
That's a good one. I mean, look, Vic Fangio is a great DC, but again, offensively, you're right. Right, quarterback, they're not good. I just don't know. I guess people are hopeful they make that jump. But I'm with you here. The Broncos are not going to be very good.
I'm going to skip ahead to our last one here because we're running out of time. Jeff, Kevin Zeitler this weekend posted a video where he was doing pass protection sets in the hospital while his wife was in labor to deliver a child. I don't know if you saw these videos, Jeff, but he was basically air blocking nobody in the hospital. My question, Jeff, is Meredith Schwartz would blank if you were doing pass protection sets while she was in labor.
Well, okay, a couple things here. One, and I did see the video. Labor can be long, obviously. She wasn't like actively pushing. Okay. So like she was
the
process of labor. So at least he wasn't doing it while like, all right, come on, honey, push. And then he's just off doing a passive. Okay. So both times my wife went into pushing labor. I was eating food downstairs. She had to call me, be like, yo, it's go time. Come upstairs, please. So I guess she would just be amused by it, man. I'll tell you what, the first kid we had was a longer delivery. I mean, it was like 10 hours or 8 hours. Emerson went pretty fast. And we watched his movie Bad Words with Jason Bateman. Hilarious movie. Like, it's like music and movies. I have, there's certain moments that I attach them to when I kind of saw them. Movies, I'm not a big movie theater guy. So, like, I've seen movies like at other places, like The Airplane. I have this Devil Wears Prada story and Bad Words. Obviously, music. Yeah, Devil Wears Prada. It's a great movie. I was forced to watch it. It's one of my like three favorite movies of all time. It's like Shawshank Redemption and like Devil Wears Prada and Pitch Perfect. Like, those are the three. That's how we do it. So,
What is happening right now?
Those aren't the three. I mean, like, you got to put in there, like, what, I don't know, whatever movies on TBS on Sundays. Oh, those are all my favorites. But yeah, I think Meredith wouldn't care. She would laugh at me. What are you so upset about?
Your three favorite movies are Shawshank, Pitch Perfect, and Devil Wears Prada, and we're just talking about this now?
It's definitely Shawshank 1. I'm not a movie and music person. Like, I've never seen any of these classic movies. Like, I have my three favorite movies. I mean, Gump probably up there a little bit.
Gump.
I would say,
last name only.
I would say, the John Wick movies are good. I just watched one of those recently. Like, I don't have like a. I saw Shawshank as one. And I saw that in high school. That was that was in like my freshman year, like general studies class. It was like he did a whole lesson on metaphors in Shawshank Redemption. There's like 20 of them, and we watched the entire movie over like a week and talked over all the metaphors in the movie.
Like crawling through shit to be free. Is that a metaphor?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I just I don't know. I'm trying to think what movies I've seen. What are your top three favorite movies?
Wow, tough question. I should have been prepared for that. Wayne's World is my all-time favorite movie, and I have no regrets about that. Gosh, this is really good air. As I think,
I'm not sure. I don't think I've seen Wayne's World from start to finish.
That's your fault. Yeah, I really
love Gabe gets super pissed at me because I don't see any movies, and he's, you know, you guys are big into movies. I'm not.
Yeah, I really love. Yeah, I don't know. The Departed's always been one of my Good Will Hunting.
I can rattle off my favorite movies. You might disagree with
it's
them.
It's hard. I take it really personally. It's your favorite movies.
Obviously, I don't. If Devil Wears Prada, Pitch Perfect, are on my, I do like Pitch Perfect though. It's pretty good. The first one. I mean, all three I'll watch, but the first one definitely.
Goodwill Hunting is certainly in my top three.
Nick went with Coach Carter, and you laughed, and you laughed at me.
Coach Carter, Casino, and Stupid Crazy Love, aka Crazy Stupid Love.
So you mock. That's a worse list than mine.
Yeah, The Departed is belongs in my top three.
Put The Prestige in there. Okay, I see you. Yeah, it's a good movie. All right,
Swingers maybe in my top five. That one's great.
We're getting into now territory that we need to not be in. So. Thank you guys for joining us. We will ramp back up as we get closer to the season. Look, Cowboys going to camp pretty soon. We'll have some fun things to do with the show. Have a great week, everyone. Talk next week. Please, if you listen this long, you like the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you very much. Have a great week. Talk to you guys next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.